Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Welcome to the KFAX Prayer Connection. Each week at this time, we open the Word and turn our hearts toward God in prayer in the spirit of Philippians 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And now, this week's KFAX Prayer Connection.
Good morning, friends. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I trust you've had an opportunity to meet with the family of God, to hear the Word of God, and to sing the praises of God today. As we get into the program, I have a hymn entitled Standing on the Promises. Russell Kelso Carter, author of this hymn, was an athlete, educator, rancher, preacher, and physician. Here is his condensed testimony. From my birth in 1849, I was surrounded by Christian influences. My father stood for nearly half a century in the rank of Christian workers in Baltimore. By his side, I had the example of a patient, loving mother. I cannot remember when I was not subject to deep convictions of sin. Yet as a schoolboy, I wandered from the truth until age 15, when under the influence of the cadet praying meeting in the Pennsylvania Military Academy, I made a profession of faith in Jesus. But I made a common mistake. I did not forsake my old companions and habits. And for 14 years, I lived in the up-and-down experience so familiar to the average church member. I never enjoyed myself so much as when working in Mr. Moody's meetings in Baltimore. Yet even up to that time, I was continually slipping and falling. My soul cried for deliverance, and God's unlimited promises stood out like stars above me. But I wasn't willing to pay the price. In the summer of 1879, my heart, which had been chronically diseased for 7 years, resisting the remedies of physicians and refusing to grow better even after 3 years of sheep ranching in California, suddenly broke down so seriously as to bring me to the verge of the grave. I had heard of the power of prayer for healing, but I felt persuaded it would border on blasphemy to ask God for a strength which I didn't purpose to use wholly for him. Kneeling in my mother's room in Baltimore, I made a consecration that covered everything. All doubtful things were swept away. I meant every word, and I have never had any doubts about it since. A quietness came over me, and I found the Bible wonderfully open and marvelously satisfying as it had never been before. Feeling all the more impressed with God's healing promises, I concluded to go to Boston and ask prayer and anointing at the hand of Dr. Cullis. I was terribly weak, but I went. I will only add that I returned in 3 days, walking by faith and not by feeling, resumed my college work in September, and at once engaged in all kinds of religious work. I was healed by the power of God alone. Praise the Lord. Here are the four stanzas. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, 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 I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail. By the living word of God, I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. Standing, Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Last stanza. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Friend, what promise are you standing on today? I love the one that says, if God be for me, who can be against me? And hold those promises to your heart as this young boy did, and the Lord healed him of his heart conditions. This devotional is entitled, You Have Run Into My Arms, taken from Psalms 23:6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, my child, you thought you would run from me, but I am everywhere in front of you, and you have only run into my arms. I care for you. Yes, I think of you constantly, and I seek to do you good. You fear my rod of correction, but as it is written, it is the love of God that causes men to repent. Take my love, and in the taking, your heart shall be warmed and made tender, and at the same time encouraged and made stronger, so you will not need the rod nor anticipate my displeasure. For it is true that human love covers a multitude of sins, according to 1 Peter 4:8. How much more true is it of the divine love of God the Father? Knowing my deep love for you, your own heart will no longer condemn you. My mercies are everlasting, my kindness abundant. My grace extends to the least of my children, and my tenderness shall make you strong. I go before you daily to prepare your way, and you will be accompanied by my goodness and my mercy. Oh, friends, remember that goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen and amen. Well, let's seek the Lord, shall we, this beautiful Lord's Day, to reveal his glory amidst his people. Isaiah 61:3 says this, Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord had risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. The flickering flames of our own goodness will never dispel the shadow of spiritual darkness that engulfs our community. Bring on your reviving, exposing light, Father, like the rising of the sun. Prepare us to become worthy reflectors of your beauty. Rise like a slow coming dawn upon us, so that a great reflected glory will overwhelm the murky dullness of our city. Oh, Father, draw men, women, and children to your brightness. John 17:22 says this, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. If this statement was not in the Bible, we would have thought it blasphemy to touch, much less to wear the glory of Jesus. But your purpose is clear, that we would carry the beauty, the power, the brilliance, and the substance of who you really are. Confirm and mature this awesome gift of imparted glory. May the shiny uniqueness of your character be displayed in our city by those who name you as Lord. Unite your churches in our city so that together we become a spectacle of many people following one magnificent person. So we pray. We pray for justice, mercy, and holiness of Jesus to be seen in his people. For Christians to reflect the integrity and character of Jesus in the marketplace. That different churches would support and honor each other in displays of tangible unity. And, oh, Lord, we pray for the homeless. Such an incredible impact in our community. Psalms 107:41 says this, but he lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. We pray for immediate relief, shelter, food, and health care, that Christ will restore hope for the future, for wise counsel and trustworthy friendship, for protection from the risks of life on the streets, for employment, housing, and restored family life. I think of our shelter in Fremont, Lord. I pray that you would be with them as they house the singles on one side and the families on the other side, and the many, many community services, Lord, that provide the lunch and the breakfast and the dinners every day, 7 days a week. Oh, Lord, bless that homeless shelter in Fremont. We seek you now to revive our passion for worship. Psalms 70, verse 4 says this, but may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation always say, let God be exalted. Oh, Father, we love your salvation. You have saved our souls from destruction. We rejoice when you save our families from falling apart. You are lifting our minds from depression and despair. You are preserving us for a day of even greater salvation. We love the relentless way that you save us. You deserve far more than an occasional thank you. Fill our city with lasting gratitude toward you. Our hearts desire for you to be greatly known, undeniably revealed, vastly followed, and lavishly honored. And so with one voice we cry, let God be exalted in our lives. May Jesus Christ be exalted as the Savior of the world. You said this in Luke 10:21. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. O Lord Jesus, you worship the Father with passionate gladness. We long to worship with the same joy that gave you such great delight. Open our eyes to see what pleases the Father. May the Holy Spirit fill us in the same way that he filled you, so that we can be a people overflowing with joyful praise to the Father. We pray for joy to be restored to believers who struggle with depression, that God would be openly praised by his people, for Christians to worship with joy in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think of my beloved Fremont Hospital, Lord, a psychiatric hospital in Fremont, California, that you would bless that hospital, the patients, Lord, as they come in wounded and broken and despair. Lord, our CEO, bless her. Bless Tricia as she leaves the hospital. Josiah, our COO, the administrators, Lord, the mental health technicians who are the Marines of the outfit on the unit every day, 8 hours a day, 16 hours a day, 24 hours a day. Bless the cafeteria workers who provide meals day in and day out, the maintenance department that keeps the facility spotless. We pray for the doctors and the nurses, Lord. I thank you for the chaplains that are there, myself and Pastor David, that as we meet patients, by your Holy Spirit, you would give us the right words to encourage them. Bless those who come in confused. Set them free in Jesus' name. We seek you, Lord, on behalf of laborers. You said this in Psalms 128, 1 and 2. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. So, Father, we pray that God will reveal the dignity and honor of doing work as unto Christ, that workplaces would be a setting of safety, joy, and friendship, for workers to be treated with justice and dignity, for continued employment in the changing global economy, for many to follow Christ and serve him openly in the workplace with co-laborers. Thank you for those who labor in our beautiful city. We seek you now to call many to turn toward God. Isaiah 55, 6, 7, and 8 say this, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Oh, Father, you are always seeking us. But there are crucial moments when you suddenly draw people close to you. Bring such a day throughout our city. Free people from their self-defending thoughts, which blind them and bind them to their evil ways. You know the ones who are at this very moment ready to open their lives to you. They will soon choose to either follow you or forget you. Draw near to them as they begin to draw near to you. Persuade their doubting hearts of your amazing love. Matthew 13:15 says this, "For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their eyes, and they have closed their ears. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them." Oh, Father, many have heard the gospel before, but they have rejected you until now. Oh, God, we call on your mercy to give them another chance. Do not allow them to stumble on, hardened in heart, deaf to your voice, blinded to your glory. Open their eyes to your beauty and open their ears to your wisdom. Open their hearts to sense your passionate love. If there is the slightest bit of turning toward you, consider it enough to grant them a day of healing and repentance. Oh, God, for your kindness to confront and heal people who are hardened to the gospel, for opened ears, softened hearts, and receptive minds so that people hear the gospel and trust Christ. We seek you now on behalf of youth. Psalms 144:12-15 say this, "Then our sons and their youth will be like well-nurtured plants, and our daughters will be like pillars carved to adorn a palace. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord." And so we pray for teens to commit their lives to Christ, for older mentors, for authentic friendships with their peers who are following Jesus, for open trust and communication with parents, for God's intentions for their generation to come forth in fullest measure. And now, Lord, we seek you to draw the lost with persistent love. You said this in Isaiah 30:18-19. "Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion, for the Lord is the God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him." How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Father, be quick to answer when people cry to you for help. You are as swift as you are patient. We often think that you move much too slowly, but every act of your mercy is a one-of-a-kind, perfectly timed stroke of kindness. You have gazed upon each one of us through every minute of our lives. You are vigilant for the times when we cry out for help. Then you act with premeditated passion to bring us back to you. Wait no longer, God of patient love. May this be the day when you satisfy your desire to be known as the God who is gracious to all. Luke 15:20, "So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him." Father, you are constantly watching for your long lost sons and daughters to come home to you. Awaken their yearning for you. Expose the hoax of worldly treasure that has seduced them. Run toward them as they come. Convince them of your unchanging love, regardless of what they have done or how long they have been away. Let the home parting and the homecoming party begin. We pray for Christians to express the Father's honoring love to those who are on their way back home to God, that God would strengthen the hearts of parents who wait for wayward children to come home. We seek you now on behalf of sick people. Matthew 14:14 says this, "He saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed their sick." Father, we pray for God to touch those who are sick in our community with healing and comfort. We pray that they will grow in grace as God walks with them throughout their ordeal, that God will provide for their financial needs, for their caregivers and families, that many will renew their trust in Christ and follow him boldly, even in affliction. And Lord, we seek you now to display your mercy. Psalms 103, 11 through 13 says this, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." Father, why does your boundless love go unknown by so many in our city? Your constant compassion is more sure and merciful than the best of mothers. Your unwavering faithfulness is more loyal than the love of the finest father. Display the uniqueness of your steadfast love. Put your kindness on exhibit. Send a message to people throughout our city that you long to embrace them with love as large as the sky. Luke 18, 13 through 14 says this, "But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. We are qualified to stand before you as sinners, along with the people of our land, and so we can cry out for them and with them, 'Have mercy on us, a sinful people.' Every day we live in the consequences of the piled up sins of many generations. We see no easy way out. But since there is limitless love beneath every act of your mercy, we refuse to despair. Instead, we pray with hope-driven desperation that your love will prevail. Move in great mercy on us, O just and living God." We pray for Christians to pray with humility on behalf of people in their city, for people to experience God's love and to receive his forgiveness. Now we seek you on behalf of women. Acts 9:36 says this, "This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did." We pray for women to be honored in their God-created glory, that every kind of injustice toward women will cease, for pornography to be stopped, for protection from sexual violence, that hope would be renewed for the beauty of marriage and children, that single women would lay hold of God's full purpose in their lives. Thank you for moms and grandmas, Lord. And so now, Lord, we pray. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, unity. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is error, truth. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is sadness, joy. Where there is darkness, light. O divine master, may that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we are born to eternal life. So friends, as you and I face this new week, think about the neighbor across the street, the neighbor to your left, the neighbor to your right, and allow the Holy Spirit to guide you and guard you as to how to minister to them. Think about the person in line at the grocery store, at the gas station. Pray for them. And as we do that, friend, this is my prayer for you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. This is my prayer for you, friend. Until we see each other next week, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
You've been an important part of the KFAX Prayer Connection. If you would like to submit a prayer need, simply go to kfax.com, click on the Growing Your Faith tab, and enter the Prayer Center. That's kfax.com, click on the Growing Your Faith tab to the Prayer Center. You can also share your prayer needs via the convenient KFAX mobile app. Go to Google Play or the iTunes Store today and download the free KFAX mobile app. As we leave you, remember the words of the late Corrie Ten Boom. Don't just pray when you feel like it. Have an appointment with the Lord and keep it. Until next time, it is our prayer that God both keep you and use you for His glory.